Blog Talk Radio.
And now it's time to play out loud. It's the Tony Lane Show.
To another action-packed edition of the Tony Lane Show. It is the truly fabulous Tony Lane, along with Maris, as we welcome you to episode 344 of the Tony Lane Show. Reminding you, of course, to log on to TonyLaneShow.com, blogtalkradio.com/Tony Lane Show. This is the destination to hear the live broadcasts. And, of course, subscribe to the show on iTunes and on Google Play. That way, every time a new episode is published, you will receive it on the device of your choice, just like magic, totally free of charge. It's a wonderful thing. Easy peasy. Very wonderful thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
As we are just a week or so away from summer.
First yep. Day.
Officially, I tell you, I always enjoy the first day of summer. It's been like a very enjoyable day for many years. I always make it a habit to do some really cool things.
I really kind of enjoyed today's weather. I'm not going to lie. I sat outside with my dog for a little bit and took the warm breeze in, and you know, it was just nice. At least for me, it was nice. It wasn't too humid where I was.
I enjoyed absolutely none of it, really. I was stuck inside all day. Isn't that terrible?
Well, I mean, I was stuck inside for half the day.
Yeah, I literally just got free. Like, I mean, it was like I just got released from prison or something. Like, I just got it outside, literally, a while ago. But, so a lot of crazy things going on. Obviously, we are going to touch the untimely passing of the incomparable Adam West. So we will get to that. Some WWE stuff real quick, though. As I watch Ring of Honor, it's a match now with Roppongi Vice taking on Young Bucks.
Oh.
To be good. Young Bucks are like such a good team. Like, to be not in WWE.
Yes, that's true.
Like, and they, I guess their style, they kind of remind you of the Rockers. You know, they're kind of like a modern-day Rockers.
Yeah, close to it. No, it's not. They are a bit of a throwback, or feel like a bit of a throwback.
Yeah, and their attire is very Rockers-esque. You know, which, of course, I have no problem with, especially, you know, being a Rock and Roll Express fanatic, of course. And, you know, the Rockers were a... I let's say heavily inspired by the Rock and Roll Express, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. Just a tad.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Not a lot, just a little bit.
I would say when I first heard of them, I mean, going back, late '80s as a kid, and I forgot to get water. Isn't that terrible? And I'm watching Crockett Promotions, NWA, the Rock and Roll Express, and their battles against the Midnight Express. So I just thought this was the coolest thing ever. So we're all, you know, Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express. Then I look at AWA, and I hear them talking about this new tag team called the Midnight Rockers. And I am like, well, what the fuck? Did they copy off of both the Midnight Express and the Rock and Roll Express? And it did kind of sound like that. And I don't know if they did. I mean, they claim they got their name from the Judas Priest song, Rock Until Midnight. And they used to actually come down the aisle with that song. And they claim that was the reason why they called themselves the Midnight Rockers. But it sounded a lot like Midnight Express and the Rock and Roll Express. I'm just saying. So ultimately, when they went to WWE, they shortened the name to just the Rockers, and you know the rest is history, as they say. But to me, it sounded like they were heavily influenced by those two teams, in my opinion, at least from the name. And then you can even from the look, you know. But the Young Bucks certainly have a style that's very reminiscent, I would say, of the Rockers, which was reminiscent of the Rock and Roll Express. So you can kind of, you know, it's a double little whammy there.
It's like a traditional throwback style almost.
Yes.
You know, that was common to look like that back in the day, like that aesthetic and everything like that, but it's not so common anymore. So when you see it, like for us, we're like, oh, okay, this is from back during this period. The kids nowadays think it's totally new.
True. Unless they go back, you know, I mean, they can look on the network and they can see all of the old things, or YouTube even. I mean, they don't have all the excuses we had. Back in the day, you heard about somebody, and you may have seen a picture of them in a wrestling magazine, but you probably never saw them wrestle unless you somehow got your hands on some VHS tape somewhere, and that's probably the only match you would have had. But now you can kind of find any damn thing on the internet, really. These kids got a lot easier than we had.
Oh, they do. They can get all the info.
Yeah. And then with the network, you can get a bunch of other really cool things. You can see a lot of these matches and tag teams that we're referring to right there.
I'll tell you what, though, there's a lot of them that don't even care to. And it's like, if you're going to be into it, at least actually be into it.
It's true, but I mean, I can understand kind of where they come from. Because really, when I was that age, and somebody told me about, you know, Bob Backlund or Billy Graham or Bruno or something like that from back in the day, I didn't really give a fuck, to be honest with you. I didn't really want to go back to watch wrestling in the 70s. I was like, well, why would I want to watch some shit from the 70s? Like, you know, I wasn't interested.
That's true.
So even though, you know, we talk about it like it was so great to them, maybe they don't care. Who knows? I mean, I have gone back, but even now, I don't think I've watched too much wrestling from the 70s. I mean, I think the earliest stuff that I have watched a lot of is probably the early 80s. And then, you know, I may have seen a match here and there from the 70s or even from the 60s. I mean, I've seen some of those black and white matches that they put on the network.
Oh,
yeah. Hidden Gems.
Yeah, I like, hey, some of them are good.
Yeah. It's good to see where it all came from, you know?
Oh, yeah, especially when you see the old school larger-than-life figures to see where other people got their inspirations from on their, like, caricatures and things like that that they portray.
And it's a different animal. I mean, it was a lot slower.
Yes.
You know, some of the camera angles were not what you're used to. Some of it was a static, you know, one camera shot just right
there
in the center line?
It was very based on real wrestling. They wanted people to believe that it was the real sport going on.
Right. So it was presented much differently. I would definitely agree that it was certainly more sport-oriented, or at least it was presented more as a sport. And, you know, a lot of it is a lot slower than what these kids would be used to. I mean,
there's no high-flying stuff.
No
high-flying stuff.
Not at all. I mean, you had a fucking guy jump off the second rope, not even the top rope, the second rope with a, like, flying axe handle, and that was like, whoa.
Yeah, you were like, wow, look at that type thing. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I guess to them, when they're used to this very quick, almost
frantic
video
pace.
Game type, yeah, movement that they do. And I know some people don't like. I mean, we've heard, you know, some of the old school guys like Jim Cornette complain that, you know, these guys don't sell and they fly and flip all over the ring and the match doesn't make much sense. And that's true. A lot of times it doesn't make much sense. It looks good, you know, but sometimes, yeah, it really doesn't make sense. And they're just doing all this flipping and flopping and diving and crazy shit, and you're like, what? It looks great sometimes, but, you know, it's hard to buy in that it's real in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
Especially when they don't sell. You know, I told you I remember going to an indie show a few years back, and they did a spike pile driver on Devin Moore. So I'm going to out Devin Moore is not selling. And he's a, you know, pretty well-known indie wrestler in the Northeast.
Mm.
And you talk about not selling. I mean, I'm just, remember back in the day, you see like the Freebirds or the Horsemen or somebody spike pile drive somebody in the
ring. It was over.
Not only was it over, they were usually off TV for a month, or especially if they spike pile drive them on a chair. They were like, that was a way to write somebody off of TV for at least a month. Like, they were injured and there was no coming back. They did a spike pile driver on Devin Moore in a ring full of chairs. And 2 minutes later, he was up fighting again. And I was like, are you kidding me? He didn't even sell it. Like, he was back up. It like nothing even happened. I mean, but that's what they do. I mean, and this is what causes people to complain, because how are you going to believe in it when you got a guy getting up from being spike pile drive 2 minutes later?
Yeah.
You
that's
know,
a little too
jumping.
Ridiculous.
It doesn't hurt. They didn't really hurt me.
Yeah.
You know? So he's giving it all away right there.
Breaking kayfabe.
Exactly. In any event, someone who was really hurt, and it hurt me to my heart.
Oh.
My diva crush, Emma. But I am happy to report that Emma is back on the road. She performed this weekend at a house show. First time since she got injured in the European tour. Hopefully she'll be back on Monday Night Raw this week and we don't have to wait another 6 months.
You don't have to go to a show just to be blue-balled.
Exactly. And if she would have only come back a week before, it would have been great. I mean, it was... I was just at the damn show a week ago, the show they did in Trenton.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they did the exact same match, which was a six-woman tag match, except instead of Alicia Fox on the heel side, it was Emma teaming with Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax. So it was pretty much the same match, but they just swapped out Alicia Fox for Emma. But it would have been great to see Emma. Unfortunately, I didn't, but whatever. Hopefully she'll be back on TV soon. Maybe this week. Like, soon is Monday.
We'll see. We'll see. Yeah. They may keep her off and, you know, drag you all along a little more.
I mean, they were just starting the storyline with Dana Brooke, you know, and to me, they need to get her through this fucking Dana Brooke thing and get her on to somebody bigger, like Sasha Banks, perhaps. Sasha Banks is the one that injured her.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe do a program with Sasha Banks, but I understand she has unfinished business with Dana Brooke. I mean, Dana Brooke was her flunky, and now when she got hurt, Dana Brooke became Charlotte's flunky, and now Dana Brooke is trying to get all new, then Emma came back. So there is a story there. And
right.
And it could play out, but because Dana Brooke is not the best wrestler, I don't know how good that's going to be. I think Emma can probably carry her to a decent match if they give him enough time. But
that's if they give them enough time. That's the big problem.
True. But I prefer to see her in a more important feud, like against Sasha Banks or even Bayley, because, I mean, they buried the hell out of Bayley.
They did.
So maybe that would be beneficial to both, perhaps.
That would be good. I'm down for that.
Because I think they've got Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss going at it next. And they're really friends in real life. And if you follow Alexa Bliss like I do on social media, you see she's constantly posting pictures of her and Alexa Bliss, or of her and Nia Jax together in a, like they're friends. So it's like, how are you going to buy in again to them being enemies when you look on her damn Instagram and you got pictures of the two of them hanging out and clowning around?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I understand kayfabe is dead. Maybe, see, now I'm getting all Jim Cornette-ish.
Yeah, you are. Cornette-ish.
Right. But yeah, some of the things they do, I mean, it leaves some things to be questioned there. It's odd. So anyway, Great Balls of Fire, the next Raw pay-per-view, the match has been set. We know from last week, Samoa Joe versus Brock Lesnar for the title. You saw Raw this week. You saw actually a pretty damn good Raw for once.
Amen.
I was like, it's actually, like, it kept my interest the whole 3 hours. Like, it was actually a good show. And I think even the talking segments, like the Miz segment with Ambrose, was good. And I thought that, obviously, the Samoa Joe, Paul Heyman segment was outstanding. I mean,
well,
you know.
Paul Heyman.
And the fact that Joe choked Heyman out, and, you know, he, like, intimidated him and was just, like, whispering it to him, and it wasn't on the microphone. It made it look more authentic and really made him look like a legit badass. And now,
I can't wait for that.
Brock is coming back. So now the people are going to probably pop big time when Brock comes back.
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding me?
And, I mean, even though they kind of present Heyman as a heel, you can't really say Brock Lesnar is a heel, because he doesn't really do heelish things.
No, not really. He's just he gets the heel rap because I don't want to say he's a dick, but, like, you know, he's narcissistic, he's full of himself, he's the man type thing, and that's what he comes off with. He's sure of himself. So a lot
right.
of people don't like that. That's not him necessarily being a heel.
Right. But in terms of what he does in the ring, he's not really heelish at all, because he never really cheats to win. Like, he beats people fair. When he beat Goldberg to win the title, he beat Goldberg fair. When he ended the streak to beat The Undertaker, he beat him fair. You know, he's not the type of guy that just goes out there, you know, like a Ric Flair, who a lot of times the dirtiest player in the game and
yeah.
win the match, but he was holding tights or had his hand on the rope, and so Dusty couldn't get out of the figure four. You know how Ric Flair would do all kinds of
yeah.
things to win, or even Macho Man when he was a heel, when he beat Tito Santana and he pulled the foreign object out of his tights and hit Tito with the foreign object. And you know, that's what heels do. They do sneaky things to win, and they always, you know, take the shortcut. Brock Lesnar doesn't really do that. You don't see him grabbing a weapon. You don't see him cheating. You don't see him pulling tights doing that. He always beats people straight up. So even though, yeah, I guess they present him as one, and I guess it is a good argument that his attitude could be perceived as heelish, but his behavior certainly is not, at least not in the ring.
Well, yeah, no, and I agree with you, but I believe he's presented in such a way that his behavior, that's what people take from it.
And going against Joe, who it looks like they are trying to position as a legit heel, I think Lesnar's going to definitely be the babyface in that match.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Maybe against Roman Reigns, they might try and make Roman Reigns the face, even though half of the crowd is going to boo him. But, you know, they'll try. So, interesting, but very good Raw, I thought. And, you know, looking forward to that match. That's a pretty badass match.
I can't wait for that. Like, I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, I mean, that is one that has a lot of wrestling fans looking forward to.
Mm-hmm. And it's good to feel like that. I like that.
Exactly. Exactly. It's been a long time since we've actually had something that you really want to see ahead of time.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
We've been pleasantly surprised, like, at the pay-per-view last week. You know, I kind of had mixed feelings about the Fatal 5-Way. It turned out to be a really good match.
It did. Yeah, I was mixed about it too, but that was one of the few good ones.
Right. But you weren't going in thinking, oh, this is going to be a great match. It was kind of...
No, weird. Not at all.
And so it kind of over delivered in terms of what your expectation was. But I think that this Samoa Joe Brock Lesnar thing, you are already anticipating something really cool. And
well,
what would be...
This is the thing. It's like... excuse me. It's like Samoa Joe is a badass. You know, and he comes off as being a badass, and he's a heel, and he's great at it. And it's like Brock Lesnar is Brock Lesnar. It's like there's electric with this match. It's like... It's like one of those matches where, like, you have to see it. It's like must watch.
Oh, absolutely. And they both have like that legit MMA shoot background.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're both legit badasses and tough guys. So this is really a good match on paper that a lot of people want to see. I mean, you know.
I'd like to see them in a legitimate octagon, but.
I mean, silly pay-per-view name aside, this is probably one of the most anticipated pay-per-view matches they've put on in a long time. I mean, whether the pay-per-view is called Great Balls of Fire or whatever the fuck it's called, it's a good match.
People are looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Speaking of Great Balls of Fire, WWE has changed the logo of Great Balls of Fire as the original logo. People went online and actually said that it looked like a dick and balls.
Ooh.
And when you kind of look at it, it kind of did.
Yeah.
And somebody went on Twitter and actually even asked WWE superstar Sasha Banks if she thought that the Great Balls of Fire logo looked like a dick and balls. And her response was, quote, yes. And they have since changed it.
There you go.
There's a brand new logo for Great Balls of Fire. But
I don't get, like, how they let that shit get passed.
The name or the logo?
Both of them. Who the fuck names a pay-per-view Great Balls of Fire? Come on.
And apparently it cost them a pretty penny, too, because they had to pay the estate of Jerry Lee Lewis to get the rights not only to use the trademark of Great Balls of Fire, but also the song is the theme of the show.
Oh, my God. I can't.
Maybe there's like, a subliminal message to it. Who knows?
I want to see that match so bad, but I so don't want to get that pay-per-view. Just on principle.
I mean, there could be something subliminal to it, because now that I thought about it after listening to Jericho's podcast when he had Alexa Bliss on, because mainly I had to hear about my girl Alexa Bliss. And I was impressed that Alexa knew so much about wrestling. Like, I thought she was just one of those, you know, little pretty girls that they put into wrestling like they always do. But apparently she was a big wrestling fan. Like, she was name-dropping, like, the Great Kabuki and shit like that. I was shocked. I was like, wow. So she actually used to watch wrestling. She said her grandmother was a big fan, and she used to watch it with her grandmother all the time. So I was like...
Nice.
I was very shocked, but pleased to say that she was, you know, so into it. But anyway, as I was listening to it, Jericho, who's on tour with his band Fozzy, he was putting over their new single, Judas, and which is a great song. I think Judas is awesome. And that was the theme of the last NXT TakeOver. And I guess it was subliminal all along. Like, it's a theme. We know what happened at the last NXT TakeOver, where you had the DIY split, where Tommaso Ciampa turned on Johnny Gargano at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically, the song was about Judas betraying somebody. And that's what the song was. So, and then that's what that happened on the show. So I was like, damn. So they were like giving us a hint right in the name of the song that was the theme. And it went over everybody's head, because I guess we didn't realize that what they were going to do.
Yeah, I guess not. Yeah, I didn't put two and two together like that.
I don't think anyone did.
Mm.
But so I'm wondering, does Great Balls of Fire have a deeper meaning like that? I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it could be either.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I mean, that could be Great Balls of Fire. Sounds like an STD.
It does.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, got me with that one. Now, of course, the SmackDown brand has their turn at pay-per-view next weekend with the Money in the Bank. So we will see not only the men's Money in the Bank, but as we mentioned previously, the first ever female Money in the Bank. So that should be interesting. We'll see how that goes. Also this week, E3.
Yes.
The annual Electronic Entertainment Expo hits, what is it, Los Angeles? I think it is.
I believe it. Yeah, it's Los Angeles. It's not Anaheim.
Yeah. And so we get to see all of the wares of the various software developers and hardware manufacturers, as everyone tells you what they got coming out over the next year. And should be interesting. I mean, I wonder what does everybody have planned? I mean, you know, this is a big time if you're a video game fan.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing now, because of the miracle of the internet, you can actually watch a lot of these press conferences live. Like, they stream a lot. I think they stream some of them on Twitch and YouTube and everywhere. I know on the consoles, you can even see right on the damn console. Like Sony streamed the PlayStation press conference right on the PlayStation last year.
A lot of them do that now. They actually, there's a lot of companies that have already come out. Like, I do a lot of, like, bundle purchases of PC games.
Right.
And, like, they've already put out an E3 bundle of, like, early access to PC games that were at E3 and featured games at E3 and stuff like that for, like, a discounted rate. So there's stuff that's already coming out, you know. And when we're not talking, like, BS games either, we're talking, like, Sega, Daedalic, Atlas, like, WB. Like, these are all, like, legit games. But there's a lot coming out.
Now, apparently, Microsoft has some big stuff coming up this year.
Metro Exodus. Oh, I can't wait.
It possibly some new hardware, too. According to The Verge, this Project Scorpio is supposedly the successor to the Xbox One, and it features more graphical power and, like, 4K gameplay support, supposedly comparable to the PlayStation 4 Pro.
Mm.
And apparently it's going to be backwards compatible with some Xbox 360 games.
Ah.
And rumor has it that they are bringing original Xbox games to Xbox One as well. But as far as this Project Scorpio, apparently it's not going to be cheap.
Oh, I highly doubt it.
$4.99.
I paid more for my PlayStation 3.
Yeah, and that's more than what the PlayStation 4 Pro costs now. I mean, the PlayStation 4 Pro you can get for $3.99.
Mm.
So it's like, come on now. If you can get already something that's already that powerful for $100 cheaper, why would you wait for Microsoft?
Eh.
What the fuck does Microsoft think half the time when they do this?
Listen, I want to know what the fuck Nintendo's thinking. Nintendo needs to put their back catalog on PC. They just need to do it already.
I don't think they'll ever do it.
I think that's their trump card. If they're ever in real danger, they'll put their games on PC, and they will be a multi like billion-dollar company within 24 hours after doing that.
I think if they did that, it would kill them in the hardware space. I mean, that's always been Nintendo's calling card, if you will, was that their games were on their closed system. I mean, Nintendo's been very specific. I mean, more closed than anybody else, you can probably agree.
Mm.
They were the last ones to switch from cartridge format. You know, they always have used, for the most part, a proprietary format to store their games. I don't think they would be too quick to release things on PC. It just doesn't seem like that's in their model, especially when they still rely on hardware so much.
No, I know. I mean, that would probably be, like I said, a last-ditch effort to save the company type thing. But they do have their handheld hardware.
They do. And they just released the Switch. Which
yeah.
is kind of a hybrid handheld console.
I heard it's awesome.
I mean, it's a nifty idea. I probably will watch their press conference if they're going to do one. I know the one year they didn't even do one. But if they do one, I actually will listen to what the hell they got to say for a change. Because I know some of the ones they've done over the past few years when they did appear at E3. Some of them didn't actually appeal to gamers. They appealed to the casual game, especially during the Wii period. They were more going for that casual audience.
Yeah, they were trying to get the casual audience into gaming. That way they could hook them with the next ones, which was the Wii U. And now it's the Switch.
And I know when I watched a few of the press conferences that they did during the Wii period, and I was like, they're not even talking to me. They were like talking to somebody else. That clearly I was not the demographic. And I was like, I just stopped watching it, you know, because it was like, it wasn't anything for me. It was clearly directed at people that don't normally play games, and they were really trying to position that console. Hopefully now with the Switch, the console will be more centric to gamers, something that I could relate to. Be like, okay.
I mean, it is pretty cool.
I'm still not going to buy your hardware, but interesting.
Yeah, that's true. You're a Sony dude.
Yes. But I mean, it looks pretty cool. Who knows? But see, now I have my nephew, so who knows? I might get him some Nintendo stuff.
No, that's true. Yeah. It is great for kids.
Right. I mean, probably not yet, though. He's still just three, but maybe when he gets a little
older.
Hey,
listen, I got my first Nintendo at three.
Oh, wow.
1985, man.
I was thinking maybe wait until he's like five or so.
No, I had an 8-bit brand new. Santa brought me a brand new 8-bit Nintendo in the December of 1985.
And you've been hooked ever since.
I've been playing for over 31 years.
Now, a lot of games, you know, being a big fan of the WWE 2K series, I want to hear what they got to say there. There's been some rumors going around. So, Take Two, and we know NBA 2K, that's going to be a big one. I hear Kyrie Irving is he's the cover athlete. I didn't realize how popular NBA 2K was. I mean, I know
it's
it was
a massively
game.
Popular game.
It is.
Massively popular. Like, you don't even know. Like, it is a huge game.
Oh, it's incredible how popular that game is. When I did the midnight release for the NBA 2K game, like, the line was all the way down. Like, it's a little strip mall that I went to, the GameStop that I go to.
Mm-hmm.
And the line was, I would say, equivalent to probably a city block long for that game.
I wouldn't doubt it. I worked a midnight opening one time, and there was like 500 people.
Yeah, I mean, I was like totally shocked. I know people, we know football is the most popular team sport in America, but I didn't realize how popular basketball was in the post-Jordan era, but apparently it is still.
It's hugely popular,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the ratings that the NBA Finals are getting, and you can see it is. Basketball is extremely popular. Certainly, I would say, the number two behind football.
Oh, yeah, I would say so.
You know, and you can see hockey, at least in America, is probably the fourth behind baseball.
Yeah.
You know, because the Stanley Cup is averaging about 4 million viewers for the Stanley Cup, whereas the NBA Finals is getting anywhere from 15 to 20 million.
Yeah, it is a big difference, but you know, it's also dependent on the country. We're not really a hockey country, so to speak. We're not cold all year round or majority cold. So, like, we tend to do sports that are more either outdoors or can be played outdoors or, like, easily controlled in a simple environment, stuff like that.
Right. That's true. But the craziest shit is the NFL is so popular. And, I mean, we know ratings were down a bit for the NFL last year. But still, on average, meaningless preseason NFL games have bigger ratings than even the NBA Finals. Isn't that crazy?
That's the craziest thing. Like, who cares? Why are you watching it? It means nothing.
Right. And as good as the ratings are for the NBA Finals, a preseason football game will get more people watching it, which is just really insane. That's how much people love football. I guess because football, you don't have as many games you know, basketball and hockey are both 82-game seasons, and their playoffs take 2.5 months.
Baseball is a shitload of games, too.
Baseball is 162, right?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And their playoffs, you know, it's a long playoff. Whereas football, you know, you got the 16-game season played over 17 weeks. It's not that long.
No, it really isn't that long. And I guess when you put it in perspective like that, it really is an easier sport to follow because the teams aren't playing like 7 games a week and shit like that.
And every game means more.
Well, yeah.
You know, it's not like, you know, and the finals for all of the other three major sports are all in 7-game series, whereas the Super Bowl is one game.
Yeah.
Win, you lose, you know, like it doesn't matter in whoever wins or loses game one of either the Stanley Cup, the NBA Finals, or the World Series, they're still in it because you got at least 3 more games. Maybe
you
more.
Lose the Super Bowl, you lost the Super Bowl. That's
exactly.
It. That's over. One and done.
Right. So every game's more meaningful because it's a shorter season. Playoffs, one and done. So maybe that's why more people watch it, I guess. Who knows?
Mm.
But E3 this week, I'm excited. I'll be checking out a lot of the press conferences when I can. And I'm sure most of them, they go right up on YouTube anyway. So even if you don't watch it live, you'll be able to watch it on demand later. Yeah. Because once they're up there, they're up there. You can just play them whenever.
Yep.
So that's the beauty of the technology. There's also rumors that Sony may be announcing the PlayStation 5.
Already?
Well, really, it's not really an already when you really think about it. The PlayStation 4 has been out for a long time, really. We're going on the 5th year.
Yeah,
and
but I mean,
the PlayStation 5 would be out next year, 2018 is when it would come out.
Yeah, but I mean, you're talking, you should get at least 10 years out of them.
Well, that previous generation went 10 years, and that was a bit long in the tooth. But none of the other generations ever lasted that long. I mean, if you look at the original life cycle of the PS1 and PS2, they, even back with the Sega stuff and Nintendo, they never had a 10-year-old console. Like that last generation in particular was a very strange generation that overstayed its welcome. In my opinion, where I mean, it went a long time, and you being a PC gamer, you really know, like it starts showing its age after that many years.
Oh, it starts showing its age within a year.
Right, and that's one thing that PC gamers have always complained about the consoles, that you know you can always upgrade the PC, and you can't do that with the consoles, and we've seen now these almost 0.5 upgrades, almost like how Apple does it with the iPhone and with the S upgrades that they do, where you had like the PS4 Pro and you had the souped up Xbox One that they put out, where they put out more powerful versions with the 4K and the better specs and the faster processors and all that, which weren't full on successors, but were just kind of an incremental update just to make the hardware still relevant. So I think it is going to move, kind of just, you have to, just to keep up.
They need to start manufacturing them where you can go buy upgrades and swap the pieces out like you can in a computer. And then Sony can have their brand hardware. Xbox can have their brand hardware. Nintendo can do whatever they're going to do because Nintendo just does their own thing, which is fine. But that really, that's the way they should be doing it now, because down the road, or as time goes on, they're going to make a lot of money if you offer options for upgrades and to expand things and things like that in your system, they'll make a killing.
And we know that the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, at least in their current version, they're basically like PCs.
They are PCs. That's right. What they are. They're just built. Their operating systems on them are built just to do that function, though. But they are PCs.
Well, not even you can't even say that with the Microsoft one, because the Microsoft one, it's running Windows 10.
Well, that's true. Yes, they were able to do Windows 10, but Sony's is a specific operating system that only either allows you to access apps like a phone.
That they right. It's running on Linux. The PlayStation 4 OS is built on a Linux operating system, but it is close where you can only do what they allow.
Yeah, they have it locked down to where you're only allowed to do certain things and it can do certain functions. But in essence, they're both still computers. There's no reason why they can't come out with some type of sleek console design and have placements for the different, you know, peripherals and things like that. And you should be able to pop it open and just pop them out and pop a new one in. You want another hard drive, or you want to expand your hard drive in, say, your PlayStation 10, you go to the store, you buy a secondary hard drive. And
well, you can do that. You can upgrade the hard drive. That's
well, I'm talking about, like, say, I'm talking about, say, you want to do 3 hard drives in there, or, you know, and then upgrade the video card. Like, you know, things like that where, like, you would have just a specific Sony card with a certain connection, everything, and you have to buy a Sony peripheral for it. Plain and simple.
But I think now you can upgrade the hard drive on the PS4 up to a 2 terabyte hard drive, I believe.
Yeah, they do. They both have their expansion abilities, but like you should be able to do 2 2-terabyte hard drives.
Right. Well,
if you could pop it out and pop them in.
You can do an external one also. I think it does read an external. So you might not. You can put one internal and run one external, I believe. But still, it's a lot of shit.
It is. It's a lot of wires. It's a lot of noise because those external hard drives aren't necessarily quiet.
Right. And not reliable either, in my opinion.
No, they crash a lot.
Right.
So, I mean...
One with a lot of shit on it, and it doesn't even work.
Me too. I have 2 of them, both like a terabyte each.
Yeah.
It's not good. And there's no way to recover the stuff that's on there.
Right. Right. It's awful. But I wonder, so they're talking a potential late 2018 launch. Will they announce PlayStation 5? I wonder. I'll be waiting.
You will be waiting with bated breath.
Right. And you know, that is one press conference that I will watch. If I don't watch any other one, I will watch the Sony one. I always watch.
Oh, yeah. You're on that.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I've got to go on the PlayStation 4 and select it in the live event viewer so that they know I'm watching it.
Oh.
Just got to give them that 411.
Oh, do you? All right, big brother.
Exactly. I'm not going to watch it on Twitch or anything. I'm going to go straight to the source, right to Sony themselves. But
it depends. Sometimes I watch it on Twitch. Sometimes I watch, because there's a couple places that show that it's on YouTube.
Right.
So like, you can watch it in a lot of places.
Yeah, and a lot of them have, like, their own thing going on, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like back in the olden days where, you know, they would have E3 and you'd have to wait, like, 2 months to read about it in the magazine.
Yeah, and see all the pictures and stuff like that.
Right. Now you can see it as it happens.
They actually, one year, I don't know if they still do it, there was a robot. There were little robots that you were allowed to take control of through online, and you could tour around E3 with these little camera robots, and like you were actually walking around E3.
You know, it would be cool if Sony did that with that VR headset.
That would be awesome.
Because with the PlayStation Home thing that they had on the PlayStation 3, they had built like a virtual E3 setup where you were actually able to, you know, walk around a virtual setting, you know, on screen, of course.
Yeah.
Exactly what their setup looked like in E3, and you were able to sample the games and actually play the games through the home setup. Home was actually a very good idea, very ambitious. I know it didn't take off the way they wanted it to, but it was
ambitious.
It was very ambitious. I used to enjoy Home a lot. I thought it was fun. And it was interesting. You learned a lot about a lot of people. And we see how horny most male gamers are.
Yeah.
Because I had two avatars. I had a male avatar and a female avatar.
I have that too, though.
Because I had two PlayStation 3s back then. So on one system, I had a male that kind of looked like me, and then I had a female one that was supposed to be the guy's girlfriend. So whenever I would go through with the female avatar, I would get like a million friend requests and a bunch of guys always trying to be on there. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, they are that fucking hard up for a woman that they see a fucking female avatar and they think it's a girl and they go crazy.
Yep.
It was very telling, to say the least. And I would go on my other system with the male avatar, and nobody would bother me at all. I would be able to just roam through wherever, you know, even the most populated areas, never bothered, no, nothing.
Yep.
I couldn't take the girl avatar anywhere without getting a friend request or somebody trying to talk to her or something. I was like, it's crazy.
Welcome to the world.
I mean, it's like an interesting social experiment to try.
I can't tell you how many people talked a lot of shit to me playing Warcraft. Will call me a little boy, my balls haven't dropped, stuff like that, and it's like, I'm a girl. And they're like, you're not a girl, blah, blah. It's like, we get a lot of flack.
Wow.
I know it's still, you know, it's getting more and more popular, but, like, you take a lot of flack being a girl gamer.
Right. Right. I mean, it's crazy. You guys got to go through what you go through.
Like, I just want to play my game. I don't want to be your fucking friend.
Right. I mean,
it's like, leave me the hell alone. Go find someone else. Go play with your friends.
That's what's so crazy. I mean, I had a secret PlayStation 4 account that I would only play where I didn't want people to bother me. Like, I would give my other username to my friends so that I could play with them on that one. And the
right,
other
and
one,
then you have
I never
the private one. Yeah.
Right, because half of the time I don't feel like being bothered with fucking people when I'm playing my game.
Listen, I'm the same way, so I know exactly where you're coming from.
So it was just so odd that people would fucking bother me, because I'm like, well, who the fuck are you, for starters? Because all of the people that I have had as friends on either the Xbox or the PlayStation, like, they're people I really know.
Right.
Like, not like I just randomly pick people to be friends. Like, these are really legit people that I know. And it was just odd that you would get all these strangers, you know what I mean, based off of an avatar.
All the time. I can't tell you how many times I play male characters. Like, I know a lot of guys that play female characters. I play male characters.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
It's like, I find that funny, that usually the opposite sex will play the opposite sex in a game.
Yeah. Or even, I don't know, did you do Home at all on the PlayStation 3 or no?
I got an invite to it to beta test it when it was going through beta, but I never did it.
It never got out of beta.
Yeah.
I mean, it stayed, It was pretty much up and running, though, but I don't know how long it lasted, four years, 5 years, whatever it was. But they never took the beta tag off of it, even though it was a fully functional thing. But it was interesting, I thought, and it was actually a very good idea that they should have moved on to the PlayStation 4, but they just kind of abandoned it, and, you know, I guess I understand why. But and they even shut it down on PlayStation 3. Yeah. That is E3 in a nutshell. So we will find out what happens, what the big announcements are, and hopefully get some good stuff. Now, of course, Hollywood as a whole, we were all saddened by the untimely passing of the incomparable Adam West, who passed away after a short struggle with leukemia at the age of 88. Adam West, of course, famous for playing the Caped Crusader in the 1960s Batman television show. He was a guy that I'm sure all of us grew up watching, because, I mean, since the Batman TV show went on the air in 1966, I don't think it's been off the air. I mean, it's just still on the air.
Yeah, I don't think it's been off the air either. Like, you can always find it airing somewhere.
Right. I mean, there may have been a little dark period in the United States
in the
late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, in the 90s.
I think it wasn't one.
Yeah.
But then I know it had a little short run on TV Land. And then now, with all of these retro TV networks out, you know, like MeTV and Decades and Antenna TV and all those retro channels out, all of those old shows are back on TV now. Because it's like so many.
Growing up, I never thought those channels would work, and now that's like all I watch.
Right. Well, now some of the shows that we watched are retro.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's like they're considered retro, and it's like it doesn't feel retro to me, but hey, whatever you say, as long as you're airing it.
I mean, Antenna TV plays, what's that, with Sabrina, the Teenage Witch.
Oh, my God.
Which was a nice show. I mean, like these.
Yeah.
Like,
I used to like
My Generation of Girls.
Carissa Explains It All was another good one.
And they're playing these shows, you know, they're retro now, so.
Yeah, because we're retro. How does that make you feel? We're retro.
Exactly. But Batman, you know, I grew up watching it my entire life, basically. And obviously as a kid, when you watch it, even though it was obviously a very campy comedy, when you watch it as a kid, it was serious.
Oh, yeah, you were into it as a kid.
It was a real thing. It was a real man in a Batman costume and Robin and villains, and it was real as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, like you got into it as a kid. It wasn't like campy and like, you know, as you watch as an adult, you laugh at the crazy effects and the pows and, you know, the what they're saying and things like that. But back when we were kids, it's like, this is the serious shit, man. He is
right.
Legit.
Exactly. Exactly. And it was something that I'm sure all of us, one thing that I can even credit the show for was as much as watching the Dukes of Hazzard would make my brother and I want to climb through the window of the car, watching Batman actually made me want to wear my seatbelt. So it actually helped.
Oh, yeah, that's
more safe.
True, the utility belt.
Because, well, at the beginning of the show, when they would come down the bat poles and run into the Batmobile, they would always put their seatbelts on.
That's
and,
true.
So I wanted to be like Batman and Robin, so I would always wear my seatbelt all the time. So it wasn't really hard to convince me to wear my seatbelt because I wanted to be like Batman and Robin.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, I guess in a way it kind of taught some kids some good lessons. He was quite the square when you look back on it now. But it's very funny. You have to admit it's funny.
Oh, it is funny. I mean, listen, the show is a classic.
Yes.
It really is. Like, it was great at its time. It's campy. I mean, let's face it, it doesn't hold up because it's older and it's campy. But you know what? It's still fun to watch. You're still going to get entertained by it.
And I think that most people would be surprised to know that the show was only on for 3 seasons.
Yeah, that's true. It didn't have a long run. As popular as it is.
Right. Because of its the first 2 seasons, it was actually on twice a week, you know, with the cliffhanger and then the conclusion, and they both played during the same week. They have a huge episode count. Like, their actual episode count is equivalent to a show that was on for 5 years, even though they were only on for 3. So they've got 120 episodes in the can, and that kind of is how the show's been in syndication for all these years, because they got a bunch of episodes, and, you know,
it's not like you're repeating the same 13 episodes from three things. So, like, 39 episodes, you've got 120 episodes to go through.
Exactly. And it's just been on ever since. Obviously, Burt Ward, who portrayed Robin the Boy Wonder, season 3, we got the late Yvonne Craig. She passed away a couple of years ago.
She did. I actually just saw a picture of a picture collage that someone had put up as a tribute to both of them on the scene of, or behind the scenes of Batgirl. Like, they caught, like, the of them, like, joking around with, like, the crew and stuff like that. Like, it was a nice collage to see it all, because you usually didn't see that side.
She was quite the attractive woman in her day. I mean, that Yvonne Craig, she looked really good back in the day.
She did.
I think she dated Elvis, too.
Did she? Good for her.
So Adam West is going down, even though that was the last time he played Batman in live action. It's not the last time he played Batman. You know, he played Batman just last year, at least as a voice actor, in the Batman Return of the Caped Crusader, the animated feature, where Burt Ward, Adam West, and Julie Newmar, the original Catwoman, all reprised their roles as the voice actors of the animated feature, which was based off of the 60s Batman TV show, at least as far as the character.
He also, FYI, if you're a fan of the Lego games, which I know you like the Lego games.
Yes.
He was the one that did the voice acting for Batman 3. They have the 60s Batman that you can unlock. He did the voice acting for that.
Right. Yes, he was on that as well. Right. And he even was...
then that only came out like last year or the year before.
Right, right. So he recently was still portraying Batman, at least from a voice acting standpoint. Newer fans may know him as the voice of the mayor on The Family Guy. Mayor Adam West, where he plays himself, actually. And he also was he played Batman on the Super Friends back in the day.
Yeah.
In the 80s. Not through the whole series, but the last season or two. And he also, during the filmation New Adventures of Batman and Robin, he was the voice of Batman for that as well.
He actually just did, I'm looking at his Batman listing, he actually just had a Batman release earlier this year, Batman vs. Two-Face, the direct-to-DVD.
Oh, well.
So he voiced a Batman just this year.
So that's still to come out?
I believe so. I guess so.
Okay. Because, yeah, I have that, the other one, the one they did last year with the Return of the Caped Crusader.
Yeah, and he did that one as well. He just did Batman vs. Two-Face this year, so that should be coming out soon.
So, yeah, he's been synonymous with that character, whether in live action or providing the voice in animation. I think for this generation, Kevin Conroy is probably the definitive Batman voice. Of
course, I would say so.
You know, he was the voice for the animated series and several of the animated features they've done afterwards. But Adam West, he's been in there a lot of times.
He has. And, you know, he has an iconic voice when it comes to Batman, so.
And you know the Adam West voice when you hear it. I mean, I think when the first animated Batman show that Filmation did in the 60s, Oling Soul was the voice of Batman, and he went on to become the voice of Batman in the Super Friends. But then when Filmation did the New Adventures of Batman, Adam West and Burt Ward reprised the roles from the live-action show that they did a decade before, and then Adam West would become Batman again in the 80s on the later seasons of the Super Friends. And Oling Soul was still on the show. He was actually the professor for Firestorm. So it was crazy. Like, I even noticed it as a kid, where I was like, the professor talked like Batman, and Batman talks like Adam West. It was really weird. I mean, now you can really notice it. But back then, I even paid attention to it. But certainly, a loss. A lot of tributes coming up from Hollywood and everyone alike. It's hard to believe, though. I guess he was almost typecast as Batman. And to think that this was a role that he only played for 3 years, and it, like, defined his whole career almost. Isn't that crazy? It is just very bizarre. Because just think, if there's something that you did for 3 years, but somehow it defines your whole career.
It's crazy, though, because he was in a lot of Westerns his early career.
Right.
So it's like, I'm amazed that the Batman stuck so much compared to all the Westerns he was in.
Right, but when you think of him, you think Batman.
Yeah, I know.
You know? I mean, I even had some people bring it up to me, and that was the first thing they said. Batman died.
Yeah.
You know, not Adam West, Batman. Because a generation of people, he was Batman.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there have been so many Batmen for our generation, to say the least.
There has.
From Michael Keaton to Val Kilmer, and George Clooney and Christian Bale and now Ben Affleck. I mean, it's just a lot of Batmen.
Yes.
But, Adam West, from the 60s
OG
all the way to 89, he was the definitive Batman for a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people still watch the show today. So certainly will be missed. I'm glad that I did get to attend a Q&A with him and Burt Ward a couple of years ago.
I've met him and Burt Ward a couple times.
Burt Ward's nice.
Burt Ward is a wonderful individual. I like Burt Ward a lot. He is a sweetheart. Adam West, not so much. But Burt Ward, if you ever want to meet a super nice guy who's really appreciative of the fans and everything, go see Burt Ward. He is a great guy.
And now I think it's just him and Julie Newmar, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I know.
Five members of the cast?
Yeah, because I know Cesar Romero died a while ago.
Yeah, as we said, Yvonne Craig, Pat.
Yep.
We know, you know, all of the people who were older back then, they all
They're definitely passed away.
Mr. Gordon and Chief O'Hara and Alfred. Mm-hmm. The woman that played Aunt May, or not Aunt May, but Aunt whatever the fuck her name was, Aunt Harriet.
Oh, she's long gone.
She died, I think, before the show even went off the air, I think. Or she took ill and died shortly thereafter. So she died a long time ago. But, and most of the villains have passed on, too. I know Eartha Kitt died. I don't think Lee Ann Meriwether is dead, though. I think her and Julie Newmar are both still living.
Oh, man.
But Lee Ann Meriwether wasn't on the TV show. She was in the movie.
Let me see here.
She
is 82 right now.
And she's still living, right?
She is. She's looks beautiful, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had a feeling two of the three Catwomen are still living.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Like I said, Cesar Romero's passed. Vincent Price. She was egghead.
She was Miss America.
Yeah, she was.
Wow.
Yeah. I think Julie Newmar was like some beauty queen too, wasn't she?
Yes, Julie Newmar is a very popular beauty queen.
Burgess Meredith, who was the Penguin, he passed.
Oh, Burgess Meredith, yeah. Julie Newmar is only 83, a spry 83.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and she provided the voice for Catwoman in that that Batman cartoon they did last year, The Return of the...
Yes. Yes, she did. She's done a lot, too, though.
Yeah, so that's cool that they did that, and they were able to reprise those roles all these years later, and, you know, if you get to see that animated feature, it's really good actually, and it really is a nice tribute to the 60s Batman TV show, I think, and it was a good, you know, bon voyage, if you will, to Batman, to Adam West as Batman. But now you say there's another movie that's going to still come out.
Yes,
this Two-Face movie, so that should be something.
Yeah, Batman vs. Two-Face.
Looking forward to that. Is it going to be based off of the 60s design like that other one was?
You know what? I'm not sure. Let me see here.
So they even did a comic book based off of the 60s Batman design.
Yeah, it looks like it might be. It comes out, it looks like it will be, damn, William Shatner plays freaking Harvey Dent.
Oh, wow, so it's going to be Harvey Dent and
Adam.
Oh,
damn, Burt Ward is Robin, the 60s one, because Lynn Marie Stewart plays Aunt Harriet.
Okay, so it's a...
Julie Newmar does Catwoman in this.
So it's a sequel to The Return of the Caped Crusader they did
it
last
year. It is. Yeah, it looks like it is. You've got William Shatner as Harvey Dent, Thomas Lennon as Chief O'Hara, Julie Newmar as Catwoman, Steven Weber as Alfred, Adam West as Bruce Wayne, Burt Ward as Dick Grayson, Lynn Marie Stewart as Aunt Harriet, and Jim Ward as Commissioner Gordon. So it's pretty much the same cast as the other one, or close to it.
That's awesome.
And the artwork is reminiscent of the 60s.
Right, like
it's
the other
60s style. Yes, exactly.
Right. Oh, so I'm looking forward to that. So that's great.
It looks like they're stating that it finished production, like to go out to distribution or get ready to be distributed the first of this month.
Okay. So that should be coming out soon.
I would imagine so, yeah.
Very least, probably this fall.
Probably, yeah. If not sooner, it probably maybe in the summer, considering that Adam West died.
Yeah.
They may want to push that out a little bit quicker, just as like a tribute type thing, while, you know, hit the iron while the metal's hot.
They might wait, because I think last year, that's when the one last year came out. It was right in the fall.
Mm.
right around, because I remember we watched it right around the holidays. I watched it before that, but I watched it again.
And again, again, again.
Well, I watched it with my family the second time, but it was around holidays.
Including the fam. How nice of you.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was, I think, Thanksgiving, matter of fact. So, right after the football, we watched that. So Adam West has passed on condolences to his family, friends, fans alike. Certainly a legend. He will be missed. Wonder Woman, still number one at the box office. $57.1 million. It beat The Mummy.
I wasn't too interested in seeing this new Mummy movie.
I know.
I like the original ones, but
The 30s, like the old.
No. The ones, not the. Well, those are good too. The newer ones from the 90s with like Brendan Fraser and Arnold Vosloo and stuff like that. I thought those were good.
Oh, okay, right.
I'm not a big fan of like the Scorpion King series though.
The Rock was the Scorpion King.
Yes, he was, but like the graphics were just not good.
I actually went to the movies to see that.
Did you really?
Yeah, well, I had to support The Rock. At the time, he was still...
The Rock.
Big WWE star. I was like, oh, if The Rock's in a movie, I'm going. And I went.
I guess you're right. I bought the DVD, so...
I didn't go see Baywatch, though.
Oh, no, I didn't. Uh-uh.
But, impressive...
Coincidentally, though... I've been hooked on watching compilation videos of rock like entrances and like him on the mic from like the Attitude era for some odd reason.
It's good stuff.
It is good stuff. They don't make it like they used to.
Wonder Woman's done $435 million worldwide.
Wow.
In its 2 weeks of release. So I'm, like we said, couldn't be more happier that Wonder Woman is actually doing well in the box.
Yeah.
About time. And I knew The Mummy was not going to be Wonder Woman.
I didn't think it was going to either.
I don't think Wonder Woman is really in any danger of losing its top spot until the Transformers comes out.
That's a good assessment.
And once the Transformers comes out, that's when that's going to most likely be the number one movie. Because they are cars that turn into robots.
Yep.
And that's all that matters. People don't give a fuck whether it has a coherent story or anything. Cars that turn into robots.
They are cool, though.
Yeah. And that is coming out June 21st, so... Wonder Woman has one more week to be number one in my estimation.
Well, let's hope she pulls through.
Yeah, we shall see. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Remember, log on to TonyLaneShow.com, blogtalkradio.com/TonyLaneShow, and, of course, subscribe to the show on iTunes and on Google Play. Will we be back? I'm thinking. Vacation time next week. Maybe. We'll let you know. We'll see.
Think out loud. The Tony Lane Show.
What kind of world are we living in that this is considered entertainment?
TonyLaneShow.com.